Hanoi, Hue, Da Nang, Saigon, they're names that were stamped on the American psyche a half century ago when the United States waged war in Vietnam. The names remain mostly the same, but NPR special correspondent Susan Stamberg found the once war-torn Southeast Asian nation has made great strides to leave its troubled past behind. And here is Susan's audio postcard.
Strange to visit a nation you knew all those years ago in connection with death, humiliation, determination, misjudgment, and loss. Today's Vietnam has grown vigorously and impressively beyond that war, but its place names echo in the mind from old newscasts and newspaper front pages. Hanoi, the capital now of reunified, rapidly redeveloping Vietnam, a bustling city where the day starts with breakfast on the streets, steaming bowls of noodle soup enjoyed at low tables on low plastic stools. By afternoon, public address speakers on utility poles add to the din. It's an announcement being made on a Tuesday afternoon. No one except this reporter has stopped to listen to it. My guide, Nguyen Thai Yi, explains that a traffic safety campaign is being launched.
Because of the past years, traffic deaths are so high. And they want people, no matter who they are, the students, the laborers, the farmers, intellectuals, they have to be involved in this campaign.
In Hanoi, you wish the campaign had started 6 months before you arrived.
The motorbikes of what somebody calls this two-wheeled culture keep on going in absolutely antic chaos. No one stops. So you walk very slowly. You don't look at them. Keep on walking and pray that they see and go around you. But for a former New Yorker, piece of cheesecake.
Our guide Yi dips into a different basic food group for advice on navigating crossings. Sticky rice, he says. Walk slowly and steadily in a group, stick together like rice, and you'll get across. Same maneuvers, although less traffic, in Hue, once the imperial capital of Vietnam. In 1968, one of the longest, bloodiest battles of what the Vietnamese call the American War took place here, the Tet Offensive. The communists facing down U.S. and South Vietnamese forces in Hue for 25 days. Just after Tet this year, at 4 a.m. on a February morning, ringing out through the darkness from Hue's ancient citadel, epicenter of the bloody Tet battles, the faraway, deeply peaceful sound of a gong.
And the city is absolutely silent, nothing moving except for the leaves on the trees.
And the gong, that bell in the distance. Further down Vietnam's south central coast, on the South China Sea, not far from Da Nang, the lovely old trading port of Hoi An also came under attack in 1968 during Tet, but another war is underway there now in my hotel room. On television, Gone with the Wind, with a voiceover translation in Vietnamese. There's red, there's scarlet, there's the green velvet drapery dress. I fell asleep before the Vietnamese version of Frankly, Madeira, I Don't Give a Bleep, but on day 10 of my sojourn in Vietnam, it was nice to be in the American South for a bit. Further south, in the resort town of Nha Trang, 450 followers of the Vietnamese Buddhist monk Thich Phu Thinh have gathered to hear him lecture. Waiting, they stand barefoot in pale gray robes, chanting. Our guide Yi translates.
The prayer is to focus their mind. They try to chant up to the point that they no longer get distracted. Similar to a bee, keep looking for the flowers. And when he lands on one ripe flower, by that time, you can catch him. He doesn't even care.
He's in a different state.
Yeah.
In the war years, the U.S. Air Force had a special operations base in Nha Trang. In 2012, Nha Trang, on February 14th, Valentine's Day, Vietnamese Buddhists chant to attain enlightenment. This audio postcard ends at sunset on a Saturday evening in what used to be called Saigon. Today it's Ho Chi Minh City, although plenty of signs still announce Saigon shops, Saigon restaurants, and Saigon bars. I head for one of them in the Rex Hotel.
To the place where at 5 o'clock every evening the press corps came to be briefed. And they came to call it the 5 o'clock follies, because they were not believing what the government was telling them in the nightly news briefing. Can you tell me where they did the 5 o'clock follies?
On the 5th floor.
The 5th floor?
Yeah, on the 5th floor.
Is there a big room there?
No, it's a bar.
From this 5th floor rooftop in the distance, you can see the rooftop where U.S. helicopters hovered in 1975 in that last desperate evacuation of Americans and South Vietnamese at war's end. The building is framed now by glass and steel high-rises. With its lush, sensual plants and soft lamps, the 5 o'clock Follies Bar is still an end-of-the-day refuge for tourists, and the occasional foreign correspondent come to revisit a wartime haunt. Lubricated with fine imported wine and decades-old memories, they can watch as the lights come on, giving a glow to the bustle of 21st century Saigon. I'm Susan Stamberg, NPR News.
This is Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm David Greene.